Coming to you from deep in the heart of Texas, this is Punk Brats, a podcast focused on the lives and experiences of our military brats. We didn't serve, we got served. Now here are your Punk Brats, Rose and Lisa.
Hey, it's Rose.
Hi, it's Lisa. Welcome to another episode of Punk Brats. Hi, Rose.
Hey, Lisa. How's it going?
It's going. I'm always looking forward to when you and I get together for these podcasts, you know, to escape reality and to put on our headphones and just talk to each other and banter. What are we talking about today?
Wow, there's so much going on. The holiday season is coming up. So, I'm just going to go straight into my did you know early on in this show, this episode. Only because I was trying to get all my holiday stuff ready, and I realized it's already towards the end of the month. And I came across this USO care package program, and it's designed to provide service members with a connection to home. They do like snack or toiletry care packages, but the thing that I thought was cool about their care packages is that it's what they're constructed of, and it's like this nylon material that has a it's got like this certain system in it on it on the back of the pouch, so it can attach to like most military issued gear. So like they've actually thought about the packaging so that whoever receives these packages, they can just hook it onto their gear. It's like
that's cool.
It's called a modular lightweight load carrying equipment. So anyway, and if you guys are interested in it, you can go to USO.org for more information. And if you're in the military and you want to request one, you can also go to USO.org to actually request one of these care packages.
I love that. You know, speaking of that, I also recently, through our parent company, Hats Off for Veterans, found out that the U.S. Post Office offers free shipping supplies to send care packages, and it's at no cost. And they have these kits that you go to the post office and you say, hey, I would like a military a care kit. And then the envelope or the boxes are all put together and you just fill them. And then you take it back to the post office and they'll mail it for free. So
That's cool.
You can check that out. Yeah. The U.S. Post Office. So thank you. Awesome.
Thank you.
I love care packages. I love putting care packages together. When you
were
in the military, I didn't send you a care package, I don't think, but because I was so young, I didn't know any better. But if we could do it all over again, Rose, I would send you an awesome care package.
Oh, well, thank you.
Because I think about it, all I sent you were letters. I think we wrote letters back and forth to each other as sisters, but I feel bad that I never sent you a package.
Actually, when you're at basic training, they prefer letters because you don't have, like, so many things are restricted. And I remember some people getting care packages and actually getting, I wouldn't say punished for it, but, you know.
Taken away?
Yeah. They would get it taken away saying, oh, you can't have this, 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 and that, you know. So they would tell
us. Somebody was enjoying that stuff in the background. In the back.
But they would tell us, you know, they would encourage us to tell our family and friends just to send letters. So now when you're getting deployed, that's when you want the care packages, like if you're actually deployed somewhere.
Yeah, because I think I was only like 19 or 20 when you went in. And so I wouldn't have known to put things together for you, you know, but now, I would love to put a care package together. You know what? I'm going to put a care package together. I'm going to send one, like somebody, I'm going to put one together. I don't know to who, but I'm going to put something together for a veteran and send that off. But anyway, yeah, holiday time. Creepy. We were just talking about Halloween. How do we go from Halloween to like Thanksgiving?
It's fast.
I don't like it. That means that we're only that much older that quicker, you know?
But it's a gift.
What were you saying? You said something before about how mom used to say that
the days are long, but the years are short.
Something like that,
Something like that. I did listen. I understand it now.
You understand now. If you knew our mom, I mean, yeah, the way that mom puts that now that I think about it. Yeah. I don't know. If your family has a saying or something that you want to share that your mom or dad that you grew up with, a saying, like every time Chris left the house, his parents always said to him, remember who you are. You know, I mean, they love him and everything, but just kind of like, hey, as the military brat, like if you mess up, you're messing it up for me. So
it reflects on them.
Yeah. So his parents were always like, you know, remember who you are. But anyway, if you want to share something with the punk brats, share with us, please call us at 512-254-5989 or email us at info@punkbrats.com.
Well, speaking of sharing, we have a phone call from our last episode. Charlie from Tennessee wanted to know how being a brat shaped our current taste and cooking habits. And I'm going to go ahead and share mine and answer her question. So for me, basically growing up in, you know, the different countries means that we were exposed to a variety of cuisines, like all different types. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's all about fusion. So yeah. It wouldn't be unusual for me to make tacos with like Korean bulgogi and the German sweet sauerkraut, that red sweet sauerkraut. So I got
three different countries in one food.
Exactly. So, I mean, I don't know. I love fusion and I've always done that. And what's really weird now is like fusion restaurants are like all the rage. Like,
no, it's true. Everything's,
I wish I would have known. I would have started my own restaurant with all my fusion food.
That's a great question, Charlie in Tennessee. I like to make my version of schnitzel, you know, like I make schnitzel. That's what I brought back over from living in Germany. I'm not a good cook when it comes to Asian foods, but I tell you what, I can throw down some really good German food that I picked up. So
I think I'm better making Asian food. Yeah. I thought it was
I'll cook you all your German European food and you cook me all the Asian foods. What's that stuff that used to make me that I can't say it in Japanese with the.
Oh, cabbage? Okonomiyaki.
Yeah. That I love that. I can't ever say it though.
Me too.
So I always say to my sister, Rose, will you make me that, you know, that Japanese? She already knows, but she always finishes it for me.
Since I made that.
Oh, I love that stuff. So
delicious. With the bulldog sauce, you know, the tonkatsu sauce on it and mayonnaise. It just sounds so gross, but it's really delicious.
I'm getting hungry. I tell you what, if my favorite food, though, out of all the places we've ever lived, even being Korean, my favorite, if I had to choose it, would be Asian. I'll go Asian first and American second and then Italian.
Yeah. Do you remember going to like the 1,000 yen place in Japan, all you can eat at the time? Yes. It was like 1,000 yen.
Is that
we just called it
bon
the 1,000 yen. Yes. Mori Mori Bon Bon. Gosh, I was having a hard time remembering that name. Yeah,
we used to have the Korean rice. You just brought up a total memory. It was in Machida.
And they had the little potato croquettes.
Oh my gosh!
The crepes in Machida. Oh, you said Machida. Remember the crepes in Machida?
Yes, with the chocolate and strawberries. Yes.
Oh my gosh, those are so good.
Okay, if you're listening to this, y'all. Oh, let's keep talking about food. Oh my God. I'm trying to think of all these delicious things that,
what about like the foods Germans? You don't like?
Oh,
remember being in Japan, going to the, we went to a
we
camp.
Talked about that in an earlier episode. Yeah. You and I went on a camping trip and they serve fish every day and soup. So I ate all your soup and you ate all my sushi. Mm-hmm. I survived on soup. And you ate all the sushi, but you liked
that stuff. You ate miso soup and rice. I think you ate that for a week straight.
And gyozas. Yakimandu. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Koreans call it yakimandu. Japanese call it gyoza. Americans call it pot stickers, which I still don't know what and how they got the name pot stickers. Like, is it filled with
stick
pot?
To the pot if you don't.
Get high eating it?
I think literally, maybe it's literal. Like, they didn't put enough, like, I don't know. Like maybe they actually stick to the pot.
I don't know, but who even calls it pot any longer anyway? Oh my God. Okay. So I really love that question. You know what? Y'all call us. I mean, don't be shy. Visit us on social media. Our Instagram profile is Punk Brats USA. We're on Facebook at Punk Brats. Yeah, we'd love to hear from you guys. So what else is happening that is coming up in the world? We just had Veterans Day, right?
Yeah, we just had Veterans Day, and the Marines just had their birthday on November 10th.
Yep.
And then Veterans Day, November 11th.
Why is it only one day? Why isn't it Veterans Month? Drives me nuts. There's so many stupid other things that people get the whole month and we don't get but a day. And I say we, like I'm a veteran. I'm not a veteran, but you know what I'm saying? Like veteran families and stuff. Like there should be a whole month. I understand Memorial Day, one day for Memorial Day, okay? But just, I feel veterans deserve a whole month.
Well, they do have, I think it's month of the military family.
Yeah, it's April. Military child, you mean? That's month.
No,
that's April.
For the family, the month. Oh. And then the child, the military brat, actually, I think
that's
has
April,
a day.
Right? And that thing, but what about for the veteran? The veteran deserves a whole month.
Oh, for sure.
So if you're listening out there, anybody who writes these laws or things, whatever, if you're listening, change Veterans Day to a month, please. And, you know, speaking of veterans, our upcoming guest, Natasha Cherney, is a badass man, commander, 361st Squadron. Like, she's a badass. That's all I can say. I'm so excited about talking to her because, like, not that there aren't strong female veterans out there, but they're definitely finally coming around, right? That more female veterans are starting to stand out and not that it was a male-dominated military, but yeah, it used to be a male military dominated by men, you know? So it's just nice to see someone so strong and I don't even know how to describe her. She's just, like I said, a badass. Can't wait to talk to her.
Oh my gosh, you're right. She is a badass. I mean, going from military brat to leading the 361st Squadron, right? Or squad?
Yeah, I forget the recruiting
squadron. Air Force says it.
She's the recruiter.
Not only that, she's leading the future generation of women in the military. So
absolutely.
Let's meet her.
Yeah, let's meet her. Oh, and not to also forget to mention, she's Puerto Rican Rose. All right, let's bring her out.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, I'm Punk Brat Lisa.
Hi, Natasha. I'm Rose. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Welcome to the Punk Brats.
Yes, it's a pleasure to be here. I'm so excited.
Awesome. So I want you to introduce yourself to our listeners, and you can just take us from where you were born and take us through high school.
Yeah, so my dad is a Marine. You know, he's retired now, but you can never say, you know, just a retired Marine. They're a Marine, 100%. So I was born in Santa Ana, California, in Orange County. I didn't spend a whole lot of time there. I might have been like 6 months, and then we went over to Okinawa, Japan, where I think we left when I was about 3 years old. Made our way, had a couple stops in there, made our way to Jacksonville, North Carolina. And I grew up in Richlands, North Carolina. So anyone that is affiliated with the Marine Corps knows where Jacksonville, North Carolina is. It's a huge Marine Corps town. I am the oldest of three. I have two younger brothers. And all the way through high school and as an elementary school student, I played soccer. I was involved in school. And then after like my senior year, I knew that I wanted to go to college. My parents were very supportive and always pushed me to think about college and think about what I was going to do. And of course, I was in high school and I really wanted to be an actress for the longest time. And my dad was like, you need an actual degree. I would really like you to focus on something else just so you have something to fall back on. And then if you want to go to New York or you want to go to LA, you can. And then that's when I went to East Carolina University, ARG, home of the Pirates. And it was there I did ROTC.
Wow. Okay, so great. One of the things we ask all our guests, we start all our podcasts off with is, how do you answer the question, where are you from and how does it make you feel? Like, do you get anxiety or, you know, or is it just like a nothing question?
Well, I think when I was younger, I did because most of my family lived in New York, right? And we were in North Carolina. My dad ended up retiring in Jacksonville, North Carolina. But as I got older, I have a very non-traditional military brat background, right? So my dad had already been in about 10 years before I came along. So when he retired, I was still really young. I believe I was in either, I think I was in second grade when he retired. And so I can proudly say I am from Richlands, North Carolina, right? That is where I grew up. It gets a little bit more complicated to say, where am I from now? I don't really know where I'm from now, but where I grew up, definitely Richlands, North Carolina.
Okay, well, that brings us to where you are now. So
yeah, tell
us about
now?
What you do and where you are now.
Yes. So currently I am in the United States Air Force. I am a lieutenant colonel. I'm a traditional public affairs officer, but I was selected last year for command, and I'm at the 361st recruiting squadron as the squadron commander. So our area of responsibility is Washington, Alaska, and Oregon. So we do all the recruiting for the Air and Space Force.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool. The word Space Force. Well, you always talk Army and Marines and Navy and, you know, and all that, but you just never hear Space Force. So
I love it.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
I want to rewind a little bit. When you were talking about all the places that you grew up, I heard the word Okinawa. How old were you when you were in Okinawa?
I was an infant when we were in Okinawa.
Okay, so you don't remember Okinawa.
I don't really remember. I remember some pictures that we have from Okinawa and when we left and then traveling. Remember our trip to Florida. I had some time in New Jersey and New York while my dad was in Desert Storm. And then we moved to Jacksonville. But cool story.
Yeah.
About this whole military life that we talk about. Yeah. So I left Okinawa at, I was probably like 3 or 4 years old. And then when I got orders to Okinawa, my parents said, well, why don't you look up your caretakers, which were Okinawan. And I looked them up. When I got to Okinawa, I got to see them, and then they got to meet my son. And because I was like a brand new mother, I didn't have my family over there. And so she said it was so crazy for her to see me all grown up. And then she got to see my oldest son when he was younger.
Oh,
you
wow.
Also, that is a really cool story. You also mentioned New York, New Jersey. Our father's from New York. And our Puerto Rican side is from the New York, New Jersey area. So I think we might have that in common with you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All my family, the New Ricans, are up there.
Hi.
They grew up in the Bronx. Now I think I have cousins and family in New Jersey. That's where they're at right now. My grandparents passed away, so they're no longer in the Bronx. But yeah, I totally wanted to live there when I was younger, and I did not understand why my parents wanted to stay in North Carolina and not move back to New York.
Mm-hmm. Well, Rose and I grew up overseas all our life. So when we came home for the summers to visit family, it was always New York City or Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So how very cool. Were you inspired by your father's military background to join yourself, or did you do that on your own?
Well, that's a tricky question, right? So my dad wanted me to become a naval officer. He wanted me to join the Navy. And he wanted me to do ROTC. So he knew he was pushing me to go to college, and he kept talking about ROTC. And I was like, in through one ear, out the other, right? Like, I was not having it. You couldn't tell me anything. I was a senior, right? I went to all these different colleges. And when it was time to go to East Carolina, my parents didn't want me to go to East Carolina University. And because, you know, it's called, if you know anything about East Carolina University, it kind of has a reputation of a party school. I think UT knows a little something about that. So my dad actually went on every college trip with me except ECU. My mom went, and I ran to the ROTC table. And for whatever reason, I stopped at the Air Force ROTC table. My dad made me go to every ROTC table at every college campus. And I was just like, could not hear anything that they were saying. I was not interested whatsoever. So I went to ECU and I met this cadet. She was a female cadet. And she was telling me all the cool things she got to do through the program. And, you know, that she's working towards her commission in the Air Force. I hadn't really heard of the Air Force, or we talked about the Air Force, except, you know, my dad's Marine, so made fun of the Air Force. So
I bet.
She just looks at me and she says, if I can do it, you can do it. And for whatever reason, that was it. That was it for me. I came home and I told my dad, I was like, yeah, I'm going to join ROTC. If you let me go to ECU, I'll join the ROTC program. My dad's like, you're not going to do it. I was like, oh yeah, you watch me. And so he took me to the detachment, got me signed in. And I remember my first class, I thought, this is not for me whatsoever. It felt very robotic, very military, you know, in the debt. And, you know, ended up getting a scholarship a couple of years in and got my commission. So I think my dad won.
Cool. Yeah, in a way. But I mean, I just love the story of, like, you know, women empowering women. Like, you know, you know, she said, if I can do it, you can do it. You know, I love that, you know, bringing each other up, you know, helping your fellow sisters in the military. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I never thought about it that way until you said it. But yeah, it was, you know, it felt like I could do it because I saw that she did it. And by the way, my mom and dad are very proud. They love that I'm in the Air Force. And I think I was just so resistant to it that it took my dad by surprise. But then, like, once I put my mind to it, I'm like, gone. I'm already working towards that goal. And so, yeah, Cadet Proctor, who actually ended up being an Air Force nurse.
Oh, okay. So are your brothers in the military as well?
So they were. So both of them, I told both of them to join the Air Force ROTC program. They ended up going the Army ROTC program. So at one point, my dad has a cool picture of us, of all three of us in our service uniform together. So I got to give the oath of office to both my brothers.
Oh, wow.
I cried and like forgot the words both times, just to see my younger brothers being able to do that. And so when we talk about service, I always talk about that it's the family business. I don't know if it would always intended to be that way. It just ended up being that way. So both of them are out now, both very successful, men, beautiful families, and, they are grateful for their time in the Army. Right. And
I was, what are the age differences? What's the age difference?
I am 5 years older than my brother Christian and about 7 years older than my brother Daniel.
All right.
So I was already like a grown woman by the time in the Air Force. I would come back home when they were in high school and middle school, and I'd take them to dinner and I'd visit them. So there was quite a gap when I was going through high school and college and whatnot.
Rose and I are 9 and 7 years older than our baby sister. Mm-hmm. And so we're super close, all three of us. And again, that sister does not agree with our sports teams either. So that's the only thing, the three of us girls just,
I really loved how you described the military as being the quote unquote family business. I've never heard that before, but it describes it so perfectly. And, you know, there are many families who follow that, you know, that route. So, yeah, with our dad being in the military, I mean, I didn't make the military my career, but, you know, it was a great stepping stone in college. And I look back and I think, gosh, I would not trade that experience for anything. And it wasn't anything that I had even planned, kind of like you. I just, you know, my cousin was going into the military. I followed her to the recruiters. She's like, you want to, you know, do you want to go with me? And I was like, oh, yeah, sure, without any intention. And next thing you know, both of us came out with our name signed on the dotted line.
How did that happen? We love when people bring their friends just to say as they're recruiting. We love that. Yes. Absolutely. It's interesting when I say family business, because now my kids have been able to see my change of command, see me make lieutenant colonel, that they actually remembered. They saw me, you know, pin on major, but it wasn't until lieutenant colonel that I think things started clicking for them. And then also my husband's a veteran. He's an Army veteran. He did about 4 years in the Army. And well, he did about 3 years active duty, and then he got recalled back when we were doing that. And he did some National Guard time, about a year of that. And so, and then his dad was in the Army. And we were talking about that today, how we've never pushed it onto the kids, because obviously they would not listen. They would only listen to their friends. We haven't pushed it on them, but we're getting a lot more questions about service and what it means to serve and why we are serving and why I have to be, you know, TDY all the time, or in, you know, not military. I go on a lot of trips. And they're asking a lot more questions. What does it take to get in and all these things? And my husband and I were talking about today, and I said, we have never pushed anything about the military, but it's in their blood. It's what they know.
So you have three, what are they? Boy, girls?
Yes, I have boys, just three boys. We have Gabriel, who's 12. We have August, who's 8, and Noah, who is 5.
I like the name August because my birthday month is August.
Yes.
I like that. Yeah. Aw, well, I like that. Like Rose said, a military family. Well, thank you all for your service. Yes. You guys are the true epitome of what an American family, the patriotism. I feel it just coming through this podcast. I'm so grateful for your patriotism and all that you do. Really, thank you. And thank your husband and your father, your brothers. Oh, my God. What about your mom? What about your mom?
My mom did not serve. What did she do? Okay. Much like the, she raised us. You know, she stayed home. And then she also worked as a substitute teacher and then as a teacher's assistant. Mm-hmm. And that was a huge sacrifice within itself, right? She sacrificed a lot to stay home with us so my dad can continue to have his career in the Marine Corps. It's, you know, my husband's a stay-at-home husband, and I don't see how I can especially do this recruiting job without my husband and the support he provides our family. And like, as you know, both of you are mothers, and so it is like kids have more activities these days than I feel like I ever did. And schools are, feels like a whole nother involvement because the schools want you to be so involved. And so much like, you know, what my husband does for our sons to provide that, to provide them that stability, my mom did for my brothers and I. And we're just like with kids, they also get served, right? Being a military spouse and so I'm very appreciative of my mom and of my dad and everything that they've done for us. And then of my husband for what he continues to do for our family.
Oh, our mother's the queen. I mean, that lady's the bomb.
Yeah.
She, being a military wife or a military spouse, let's just say military spouse, regardless, you know, husband, wife or whatever. But it's one of the toughest jobs, sometimes tougher than even being a military kid because, I mean, you're the one who is keeping it all together in the family and all while the spouse who's in the military is trying to get their, like you, you're out getting your career together and all. Your husband's at home keeping the kids all together and keeping that's awesome.
And supporting
great
you.
Great support system.
Yeah. I just remember from being a little kid, my mom has always said, oh, you know, you don't just, you marry, like her husband is the Army. You know, and in the beginning, like our tagline is, you know, for us military brats, we didn't serve, but we got served, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, the military spouse, I can't even, I think in a way they've got, I mean, cause they also have to, their role is supporting their, you know, their spouse, who's the active duty member, and then also their children and having to always, you know, to kind of explain to them and help them get through different things, you know, whether it's like, because you're not always going to be on a military base. Like when we were in Germany, there wasn't a military base. So we were on what was, you know, we lived on the economy. And, and my mom being Korean, where, you know, English is not her first language. So navigating all of that, what we just said, and then also being in Germany, a whole another foreign country with a whole different other language. You know, I look back and I'm like, oh my gosh, my mom, you know, I don't know if I could have done it. I mean, she's
Rose, you're gonna make me cry. Rose is getting me all teary-eyed.
I know, but I mean, just the way Natasha so eloquently stated it, you know, it made me think. So
well, Natasha, you're super mom. So tell us exactly what it is you do. I mean, I know you said it a little earlier, but I don't know.
Like put it in layman's terms for our people who are not familiar with the military. I know you said with, is it public affairs? Is that what PA is?
Yes. Okay, yes. Yeah, I'm sorry. Affairs. Did I not say public affairs? That's like a first move that we do. We never say
we don't know,
public affairs. Yeah. So, you know, for up to 16 years, you know, this year up until June, mm-hmm. I was basically public relations for the military, right? We yeah. deal with all the photos, the videos, the articles, community relations, which is how I first met Lisa, was during a community relations event. And then we were just, as public affairs, we support the entire base by showing what we do in the Air Force and whatever mission that we're a part of, right?
Okay.
So I've done that for the last 16 years. And then break in June, I took command over the 361st recruiting squadron. Okay. To me, there's a lot of parallels between recruiting and what we do in public affairs. Public okay. affairs, there's a lot of community outreach, a lot of social media, a lot of media events. You go over to recruiting, you can think of the recruiter and their storefronts, right? When you walk mm-hmm. in, you see a recruiter, you're talking to them, you see them at events, you see them in schools, and they're always trying to talk to people and let them know that there's other options out there, right? Mm-hmm. Same thing with public affairs, right? We're out of a lot of military events. We cover it. We take photos, videos, we write stories. We navigate and we, speak with the news, right? We bring the news media outlets out. And there's a lot of that correlation. So to me, that part was kind of easy. Jumping into public speaking at events, jumping into being at parades or being at air shows, super easy. Talking to, like Chamber of Commerce or any of those community type local government, can do that all day. The thing that is a little different than what I'm used to in public affairs, we're a very creative bunch, right? Photos, videos, stories, a lot of words in what we do, right? Mm-hmm. What we say is very important, how we say it, how we present ourselves, because we protect the brand of the United States Air Force, or really Department of the Air Force, because we also do public affairs for the United States Space Force. Mm-hmm. Now with recruiting, it's a different ball game, because you are dealing, essentially every recruiter is running their own small business, right? So we have recruiters out there in one person offices or two people, right? We have some in what we call hubs that have quite a bit of probably like four or five, but they all support different areas. So I can tell you that I got to visit some of my recruiters yesterday, and one recruiter had over like 200 square miles that she was responsible for herself. And so out of all the services, Air Force has the smallest recruiting footprint. It's also by design. We had a lot more desire and have a lot more desire for people that want to join the Air Force. So we don't have as many recruiters. Right. As let's say the Air Force or the Marine Corps, they have a large amount of recruiters. The thing that's a little different for us is, or for me in particular, is every recruiter has a family, right? Mm-hmm. Most of them have families and they are out in the economy by themselves. So nowhere near a base. And sometimes it's the first time that they have ever been. They go from their job in the Air Force to being alone and running a storefront and being the face of the Air Force in any given town for possibly 200,000 square miles, right? Wow. It's different. And there's a lot of data that goes into recruiting and everything that we do. There's a lot of numbers involved and there's a lot of people involved, right? You know, my group commander always says families have a vote and they normally vote with their feet. So what we try to do, and kind of bring a little bit back to Adam, not only is he, the backbone of our family, my ride or die, he has also played a role in the squadron as well in being a key support liaison for our families. So last week we had a big event for training where I get to see, it's one out of two events a year that we get to see all the recruiters at one time, right? Because I'm on the road a lot because they're in Alaska, Washington, and Oregon. They're all spread out. It takes hours to get to some and a flight to get to Alaska. And so he was there trying to be a face and listen to our spouses to see what their needs were. Like TRICARE's, there are unique TRICARE issues that our recruiters face because they're in the middle of nowhere sometimes.
Right. Yeah.
Right? They're not near what we call our primary care manager, right? On base. And so it's definitely unique in that sense where I'm a part of a team, but we're all spread out. Right. And, that has been a unique challenge, but I am so grateful and blessed to be part of the recruiting service, you know, for the Air Force, and then to be part of this, our squadron, which is like a unit. We have about 84 people in our unit. We're growing. We'll probably hit 90-ish before I leave.
Oh, wow. That's so cool.
You have a big job, girl.
Yes. Yeah,
I don't want it.
Well, you know, the recruiters have a bigger job. The recruiters have a bigger job for sure.
I work in a high school, a teacher at a high school here, and we have recruiters from the military come all the time. I will see them in a different way now.
Yeah.
When they come on campus. You know, I always introduce myself and, you know, let them know that I'm also a veteran and, you know, we'll talk or whatever. But
yeah,
I just think that that's just so cool. And thank you for laying it all out like that, because that really put it into perspective, especially for me.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm still, my jaw still dropped for how much you have to do, because you're one person. I know the recruiters, like you said, have the hard jobs of being out there and all, but girl, you still got to where you are today because you did that. Everything you've done obviously got you where you are today. You're a very serious person, I can tell. But I know that there's a fun side of you too. And we're going to find out now, because it's time for the lightning round.
I'm excited about the lightning. Yes, I'm ready.
Okay. So I'm just going to ask you a series of questions. These are just random questions, not trying to trip you up or anything. So just whatever comes to your mind. And, you know, if it's something that you can't think of off the top of your head, you can just pass it and I'll come back to it. You ready?
Yes.
Okay. So our first question, are you an early bird or a night owl?
Early bird.
Okay. What is the last song you heard?
Just listened to it in the car with my kids. Down, I forget by which guy, but it's like, baby, are you going down? Oh, yeah. I make them listen to some throwbacks, and that happens to be one of their favorites. That was the last
one. Awesome. Okay. A place you've never been to that you would like to visit?
Oh, Scotland.
Okay, cool. What is a skill you wish you had? And this can include superpowers.
If I could have a superpower, it would be that I could temporarily have somebody else's superpower. So that way I can
take everybody
experience
else's power.
All of them. Yes.
Ooh,
yes,
I like that one.
That could be a control issue. Yeah.
That's speaking like
all.
A boss lady. Yeah. What would your last meal be, including the drink?
Oh, okay. Gosh, I feel like the drink is hard, right? Definitely, I would have to have Dr. Pepper or sweet tea, without a doubt. And then I'm a big dessert person. Uh-huh. I'd have to have all the desserts.
Okay.
Everything. Molten chocolate cake, s'mores, everything.
What a great last meal. Yummy. If you could have dinner with anyone, dead or alive, who would it be?
Oh, man. I definitely think that it would be my grandma. Oh, yeah. I'd like to have one last meal with her.
Oh, that's so sweet. Okay. Do you prefer snow vacation or a beach vacation?
Beach.
Very cool. Who was your first celebrity crush?
Gosh, the Hanson brothers.
Yeah. Oh, I love it.
Well, take that back. Elvis Presley was my very first. And then my parents said it was time to move on from Elvis. And then it was the Hanson brothers.
Oh,
oh
cool.
My gosh. Mbop. I'm going to start singing that.
Yep.
Okay. This is a weird one, but if the toilet paper roll is really low, but not completely out, do you replace it or leave it for someone else?
This is the story of my life. I always have to replace it.
Why? I was going to say, house full of men.
Why? Even at work, if I go to the female bathroom, I always have to replace it there too. I'm like, gosh, it's like a curse.
That's so
yes,
funny.
I will replace it.
Okay. And our final question, What is your score prediction for Army Black Knights versus Air Force Falcons game coming up on November 2nd?
Yeah.
Keep in mind, Army is number 23. Army is actually ranked. Army's ranked 23, so it's Army versus Air Force. What is your score prediction?
Well, I'm going to go hard, and I'm going to support the Air Force, and I'm going to say it's going to be like 26. I don't know if you can have the six in there, but 26 to 12.
Okay.
That's all right.
Random.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yay.
I hope they beat them. Like,
so this is the only part of the show where we will disagree with you, and we are rooting for Army.
Of course, yes. I respect that.
That was fun. I want to hear you sing again.
No.
Well, hey, going back to talking about what you do and all, how can young people, can you give some advice out there for young people who are considering about joining? You know, like Rose said, she teaches high school kids, and there are kids who are in ROTC programs and all. What advice do you give to the young people today about joining the military?
If you were even just a little bit curious, I would most definitely have the courage, because it does take a lot of courage to walk up to someone in uniform. You know, we take that for granted because we've been around people in uniform. Mm-hmm. But I think for someone that there's a lot of people out there that have absolutely zero experience with the military. They have no idea. They have all these preconceptions. Movies don't help us. Right. Mm-hmm. And if you have, just take a little bit of that courage. And if they're in your schools, just talk to them. If you're curious about what kind of opportunities, you know, make sure that you stop by an office, you know, go to usairforce.com. They make it super easy to find a recruiter in your local area to get more information. The information is out there, right?
Yeah. And
then if your school has the opportunity to take the ASVAB, Rose, you know this, mm-hmm. There are opportunities to take it in your school. It's not going to hurt you. And it's just another test to help you study for like the SAT or anything like that.
Oh,
so take the test, be curious, talk to them. They're people, right? Like they're just as scared to be there talking to young high schoolers as you might be to go talk to them. It is a lot for them to put themselves out there. So I would encourage you, if you're a young person, you're just a little bit curious, have the courage, get a little curious and talk to a recruiter.
All right. Oh, cool. Wow. So thank you so much. You know what? So I didn't even mention this earlier. My niece, Jacqueline, shout out to Jacqueline. She just made Lieutenant Colonel in the Air Force.
And
I'm very proud of her. And
congratulations.
Yeah. And so like Rose talking about women empowering women, like I'm very proud of all of you guys. And, you know, I mean, yeah, I'm just super proud. So I've seen you, Natasha, come up so far in your career of knowing you. And so I'm happy that we got to talk with you. Will you please tell us how to say your last name, though? As you notice, we have not
Cherney.
Said it.
Yes, Cherney. Cherney.
Okay.
Is that German-Austrian, you know? Uh-huh. Cherney.
Cherney. Okay. Well, thank you, Natasha Cherney. Is there anything you'd like to share about your team or plug for the 361st Recruiting Squadron? Or if somebody's listening to this and they relate to you and want to talk directly to you?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll make sure you guys have my email. It's my first, my last name at us.af.mil. They can reach out to me, especially if they're in the Pacific Northwest. But if they're anywhere and they're just curious about the Air Force, they can always reach out to me. And I can, I know a bunch of other commanders out there. We're a small network and we'll get you to the right person. And if you're in the Pacific Northwest, you know, please help my recruiters out. Just talk to them. And I think people forget we're just people, you know, that felt a call to serve. And, yeah, give them the opportunity to at least tell you what the Air Force can offer.
You're so awesome. You have me wanting to join.
Yep.
Hey, what's the age?
The age 42. You can join from 17.
Oh, I'm way, way past 42.
You don't look it. You guys don't look it at all.
Oh my God. No, I can be the orange mom. Cut the oranges for everybody as you're at the recruiting table. And like I used to do for soccer mom. Look, I used to, like you were talking about the kids, like doing all those activities with kids and all. I've been there, done that. And my husband coached our daughter's soccer team. I was the orange mom. You know, I had to make sure everybody had oranges. But yeah, just thank you. You make it sound really fun, but I know it's also a very, very important decision. Yeah, it's a lot of hard work.
It is fun. It's a great opportunity, right? I will forever be grateful that my dad talked to me about ROTC. I'll be forever grateful that I had the courage to try something new and different. So yeah. I'm really grateful. And I'm grateful to be on the show. I love hearing punk rats. I'm raising three. So thank you for everything that you do for the punk rats, right? Thank you for what you do for the community. And to have them have a voice as well. Like, it's important for the brats to have a voice, and you ladies do that. So thank you so much.
Well, Natasha, you're officially a punk brat.
Yes.
And so is your husband. So is your husband. So are your kids. So
yes, I love it.
Yes. All right, Rose, you ready to take us out? You want to tell her how we go out?
Yes. So you know how us in the military and people affiliated with the military, we never say goodbye. We always say see you later, because sure enough, our paths are going to cross. So see you later, Natasha.
See you later, ladies.
Well, what did I tell you? Didn't I say she was a badass?
Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you, Natasha Cherney, for that interview. Man, really. And she's so sweet. I mean, she's a mom. She's a wife. She's a military brat. She's a leader. I mean, she is
Inspiring.
Very inspiring.
I mean, not only for women in the military, just anybody going into the military. Her resume is just so impressive.
And she doesn't sound like she's stopping anytime soon. So I feel like we're going to be calling her here in a couple of years, few years, and calling her General Cherney.
I hope
I'm serious. Yeah, man. Anyway, thank you, Natasha. Y'all, thank you, Natasha Cherney. Yeah, you're awesome. So if you'd like to reach out to the Punk Brats, again, you guys, our phone number is 512-254-5989. Our email is info@punkbrats.com. Well, Rose, I just love interviewing all these different folks, all these different brats. We have interviewed so many different backgrounds.
I know. Well, that was the whole premise of the show, is showing that how we're all so different, but we all are so much alike because of our shared experiences.
Yeah, really. You know? I mean, we're the boring part of it. Like, I'm not a professional podcaster. I stutter and I roll, you know, I run over my words and everything, but hey, I'm having a good time.
And I talk too slow.
Yeah. Okay. I wasn't going to say anything, but I do complain that I tell my sister in between breaks, I'm like, why do you talk like this, Rose?
It's not like that. That's quite an exaggeration. I just like to think about what I want to say, and so I don't sound stupid. Like, not knowing the phrase that mom has told us always, even though she said it 1,000 times growing up, and all of a sudden I get in front of the microphone and it's like, I can't remember the phrase.
Oh my God. Yeah. Well, we have some exciting guests coming up, you guys. So please stay in touch with the Punk Brats. We're on every podcast platform. We are so excited that we're not going to tell you who's coming up, but go to our website, www.punkbrats.com, and click on our special guests and read about these incredible, notable brats that have done amazing things. So yeah. Anything else? Am I forgetting anything, Rose?
No, I think this is the part where we say see you later.
Oh, okay. See you later.
Hi, this is Geneva. I'm from Austin, Texas. And I was wondering, what's a word or phrase from another language you picked up that you still use today? Thank you.